welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
And bus driver, you better be careful.
I hear that, bus monitor. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, you better be careful driving, because you know these roads out here ain't very nice. We wrecked the gospel bus. Six will have our heads.
That's for sure.
Also, Kenny.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what I've been, the issues I've been having today, right?
Yeah, although I didn't know you were a magazine.
All right, Ken, be nice. But you know what's been going on all day today, Ben? We were out and about together. Just be keeping what I've been going through in prayer.
Okay. And while you got a chance, you could give us some more while you're at it.
Also for my mom, all first responders, medical personnel.
All right. Got any others?
Also, I'm trying not to pay attention to the fact that a certain kind of a monster is trying to hop on board tonight.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just doing a lot of praying that what I did to try and prevent that monster hopping on board will work.
All right. Well, why don't we get ready to boogie here tonight with some good music on the gospel bus. And Ruthie, you keep that pop under control. We don't want no spills on the gospel bus or you'll be cleaning with a toothbrush.
Okay. I was going to say we should play for Six. His mom's funeral's this weekend. And we love him too and love Emily. And I believe God take care of everybody. Love
Amen.
Everyone.
Now, we got to be praying for our head police officer.
Yep. Definitely keep him in prayer. Amen. Because we know that God will help him in this time. Amen. All right. So here we go with our first song for the night. Get ready to boogie.
Let's boogie.
My block in here.
handle it. If it's what you have allowed, it is well with me. It is well with me. It is well with me. It is well. It is well with my soul. My heart's been broken into pieces, and I've had more than my share of pain. Still I believe that all things will work out for my good. So while in my storm, I'll boldly proclaim that it is well with me. It is well with me. Trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I rest in you, Lord. It well. Oh, it is well. It may hurt sometimes, Lord, I know. Oh, it is well. Yes, it is well. It is well. It is well.
I cherish memories such as videos and pictures and family. And sometimes when I look at some pictures, I begin to wonder. I wonder sometimes when will I see you? Turn all night long sometimes.
and then all I do. Oh, sometimes I lay awake, I have to cry. Read, I cry because I wonder why my heart has to bleed sometimes. It leaves me wondering when will I see you? When will I see you again? Baby sister Jean come and found me playing basketball. She's a hottie. She said, took mama to the hospital, and I got in the car, rolled out to the hospital. And when I got there, mama was sick. Daddy was standing in the hall with his head down. And when I looked in at mama, by me being big on chills, streamed down my face. But ain't it funny about a mama? Mama looked at me with a smile. Even though she was smiling, I could see water filling up in her eyes. And I knew what mama was thinking. I knew what she was thinking. Mama was wondering, Harvey, when will I see you? When I see you again, you're my only son, boy. I want to know when will we see? And I started to sing with Daddy. Me and Daddy got to be like brothers. Traveled the road together, slept together. Song together. The time the Lord blessed us thing got good. Daddy got sick. I never will forget it. Daddy was in the hospital. The last time I left, I knew he was getting weak. I said, Daddy, I want you to hold on until I get back. Daddy's okay. But when I turned again, I saw that look in his eye. And I knew he was fading away. And when I got into the door, I just look back. And I just began to wonder, oh Lord, oh Lord, I just began to wonder, wonder when. You see y'all, I don't know about you, but I love my daddy. And I just stood down the hall and said, oh, Queen, where will I see you? Where will I see you again? How many of y'all got somebody that you want to meet? Just lift your hand if you got somebody. If you got somebody that you want to meet again, I want you to just lift up your hand. And lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Yeah, come on with me. Come on, come on, come on. Win! God bless you. God bless you. We love you.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
7 days a week of what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on Tuesday. Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday, Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Friday.
It's not because of
Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. And now it is time to go into our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. And this week we are going into Psalm 12. And verse 6, Psalm 12 and verse 6.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
All right, Ruth, and once again.
Words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. Found in Psalm 12 and verse 6, Psalm 12 and verse 6, which tells us that the words of the Lord are pure. And how pure are they? They are as silver purified in the fire 7 times. Found once again in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalms 12 and verse 6. Amen. Is U-Haul open?
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right. And Sister Emily, do you think I ought to put Ruthie on the spot tonight? Yeah, make sure she's up to make sure she's awake on the gospel bus and not making mess.
Yipper.
All right. I think we'll do just that. We'll see how she's on the ball here. And Ruth, get out your Bible. And I think an appropriate text that Six might be comforted with that talks about sufferings, and when people are going through something, I think everybody would benefit from this, is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. And Ruth, you could read us the whole chapter.
Okay, I'm ready here. I got to get 1 Peter, okay?
Okay.
My Bible is flipping around here. Let me get 1 Peter. This is a little heavy, okay? 1 Peter 4. You said 1 Peter 4? Is that what you said? 1 Peter 4?
1 Peter chapter 4, the whole chapter.
Oh, goody. This is your favorite. Okay, I got it. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you on their part. He is even spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator.
Amen. All right. So what we're going to do now, we're going to get into a few more songs as we get rolling here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus a little more, and boogie out. Amen.
With all your heart, with all your soul, your mind and strength. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind and strength. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind.
You want to give us some prayer requests here while I get our next song up?
Pray for me that landlord and I will get together. I got to walk over there tonight and drop off the papers, and hopefully she'll sign them and get them right back. So just that I don't fall on the ice again, because last time I did this at night, I fell on the ice, so I got to be real awful careful. So the Lord will take care of me, I believe.
Okay, you got any others?
Just continuing to pray for Sex and Emily, and Sherry. She's got some issues that I'm praying for her. She's not feeling well. Just take care of her, Lord. And just basically lost souls and some people that really get close to the Lord, and that some people don't need healing. So, Lord, just bless each one of those. Amen.
All right. Do you still hear me, Ruth? All right. Say something, Ruth, so I can see if I hear you. And? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and play this song.
Question is, will I ever leave you? The answer is no, oh no, oh no, 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 no. Question is, will I ever leave you? The answer is no. Yeah. Oh,
my body a living sacrifice. All I want to do is the will for Christ. I was asked this question, and the answer is yes.
Now the question is, when will Jesus return? And the answer is, oh, he's coming soon, yes. So. Listen here. Look at the trouble all over the world. He's coming to get every woman, man, boy, and girl. Jesus is coming, yeah. Yeah. I can hardly wait for Jesus to return. For his return, my heart does yearn. I was asked this question, and the answer is real soon. Now the questions are, will I ever leave you? Will I do you? Will and when will Jesus return?
From heaven come clearly to me to remind me, to remind
me
that nothing else matters than seeing you, Jesus, seeking the Master, the one who reigns over my life. Nothing else matters.
From heaven will come clearly to you. Consolation from the Father, it will come to you. Consolation from the Father, it will come to you to remind you, to remind you that nothing else matters. And seeing you, Jesus, oh Lord, seeking the Master, the one who reigns over the life, nothing else matters, oh yeah, than seeing nothing else, nothing else matters. Broken before you, I need to receive a presence from heaven, and I will not leave till you touch me. Oh Lord, I pray, I need you every day with all of my heart. I believe that you are all I ever wanted. You're all I ever need. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. You, Jesus, seeking the Master.
Feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips. F-E-E-L. Letter N as Nancy. Touch like you do with your fingertips. T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown. K-I-N-G at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's PAYPAL.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. And now it is time to go into our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. And this week we are going into Psalm 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
All right, Ruth, and once again.
Words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Psalm 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6, which tells us that the words of the Lord are pure. And how pure are they? They are as silver purified in the fire 7 times. Found once again in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalms 12 and verse 6. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, as we get closing in fast on your Bible prophecy, and as we get ready to play a few more songs, while we're getting ready for that, we want you to go in your Bible and
read us, which is also good for six, and we want you to read this for his benefit, Psalm 23. Psalm 23.
Okay. I know that one, but I think I'll take
the whole Psalm 23.
Yeah, I'd probably use it at home, because I have it memorized, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just go ahead and read it direct. Okay, here it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
All right. And aren't we glad that he's there for us?
Amen.
Yeah, Ruth. Well, if you want to read a little bit of Psalm 91 for us, go ahead.
Okay. It's a coming. Almost there. Went a little too far, though. I love Psalm 91. I get a little carried away with it. There it is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Okay, and that sounds good.
Okay.
And now we're going to get into our next song. Amen.
I'm nothing without you. Come on. There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. A holler stirring up from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy or maybe even strange, but praise is the way.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Can't wait. Love you. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner. Never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of the day when the beast shall walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in against nation, trouble everywhere too. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation,
when that flame of fire comes down.
Tribulation,
when the seven seals are broken,
and the seven vials are open,
and the seven trumpets sound.
Forevermore. I believe.
Okay, this lesson is, whose land is it? The remarkable fact is that long before the Jews were ever taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, and nearly 600 years before Christ was born, Moses predicted this miracle would happen. The predicted events, which we are beginning to see transpire in our generation, were foretold long centuries ago. What a thrilling study it is to observe the signs of the times and know the second coming of Jesus Christ draws near. Praise your Lord. We're hearing much about the importance of the Middle East at the present time. We're going to be hearing more about the number one problem of the world, the Middle East. This is one of the main reasons you find the United States always concentrating its largest fleet in the Mediterranean. This is why Russia has also built up a fleet in the Mediterranean that is equal, if not superior, to the naval fleet of the United States of America. Military and political men know whoever controls the Mediterranean Sea area can go a long way toward dominating the entire world. The ancient Caesars knew that fundamental truth, as far back as the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the strategy of controlling the world, was always centered in the Middle East, and that's what makes certain prophetic events tremendously significant, even in this modern 20th century. God's end-time plan for the planet Earth is centered in the Middle East, so there's a constant struggle going on at the center of the nations, Ezekiel 5 and verse 5 in your KJV. It's an age-old struggle of power versus power. It didn't begin with Israel and the wars of the past. It didn't begin with the 1967 war. It's a struggle that's incomplete, yet it must be finalized. It's an ancient struggle that goes back many long centuries. The Arab countries have something to say about this struggle. Whose is that land over there? It's a vital question. Does it belong to the Israeli? Does it belong to the Arab? The Arabs say it belongs to us because we were driven out in 1967. We lost part of it in 1948. We want our land back. We have heard one wrathful cry since 1948 when homeless Israel became a recognized nation. Always, we want our land back. That's the solemn theme song of the Palestinian movement. On the other hand, Israel says for 3,000 years that land was ours. From the time of King David, it was our land. There have been a few of us in the land since then, and it belongs to us. It's a place of our holy temple. Our ancient fathers lived there. On the other hand, the Muslims claim the land and temple area belongs to them because they too are descendants of Abraham. The Muslims believe Muhammad ascended to heaven on a white horse from the spot the so-called Dome of the Rock stands on the Temple Mount. Very strange.
but both have what they call legitimate claims to that spot of real estate. You can generate a hotly contested first-class argument even among Christian people by raising the age-old question of whose land is it? There are some who depend partly on high-pressure propaganda, on friendships or returned missionaries who have been influenced by one side or the other. Some folks will say, are you pro-Arab or pro-Israel? My answer has always been, I'm neither. I'm pro-Bible. Bible answers the question, whose land is it? We turn in our Bibles to the 11th chapter of Genesis, where we have the historical background of the Abrahamic covenant. Allow the Word of God to lead us to the logical solution of this age-old problem. The 11th chapter of Genesis, beginning at verse 27, tells us something about the ancestry of Abraham. That time, the patriarch's name was Abram. His name was later changed by God to Abraham, which means father of many nations. The Bible says, now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Haran went before his father Terah in the land of the Nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham's hometown was Ur of the Chaldeans. The remains of the city of Ur are located on the western banks of the Euphrates River, 600 miles east of Jerusalem. Iraq, as it's called today, is one of the Arab countries that's lined up against Israel. Ur of the Chaldees was a remarkable city. I don't know what your conception has been of Abraham, because I've had to change mine. Many of us have limited mental images of Bible characters because of some of the artist's conceptions we've seen in so-called religious art. One does not normally think of Abraham as an educated man in terms of our modern culture. Many of us think of him as a man who lived in goatskin tents. We picture him as being a lowly shepherd. If you'll study your Bible carefully, you'll find that he was an important man if your conception of Abraham is that of an Arab Bedouin or gypsy-like nomaded Arab. You need to revise your thinking, because Abraham was an unusual man, especially chosen of God to become the father of many nations. Abraham was far above average in many ways. Ur of the Chaldees was probably one of the largest, if not the largest city in the world in that day. The highly complex civilization of Ur of the Chaldees advanced to a stage that was not known for 1,000 years in the land of Egypt before that country came to the zenith of its unequaled power. Abraham probably attended the public schools of Ur of the Chaldees. When the site of Ur was excavated back in the 20s, which was discovered with nothing short of amazing, they dug up little clay tablets, well preserved, so Abraham must have known the multiplication tables. The Chaldeans knew how to do square root. They were intelligent beings, and Abraham was a product of that intellectual culture. They found catalogs of old literature in that day, and much of the literature had been translated. It had been established that a postal system was in operation between Mesopotamia and Egypt in the days of Abraham. Letters had been found with their envelopes sealed. And the Bible tells us in the 4th chapter of Genesis about the working of brass. The Chaldeans knew how to temper gold and copper until it had a sharp cutting edge, neither of which was completely understood until World War II, when the secret was rediscovered. And it has taken modern civilization a long time to catch up with Abraham of old. A royal cemetery was discovered where 75 attendants of an ancient queen were buried, and human sacrifices to woe with her into the next world. All of her female attendants were lined up around a canopy with male attendants standing in front of carts loaded with provisions, given opiates, or just buried alive. We do not know which, but all were preserved. That's better than the modern undertaker or mortician can do today. Apparently, Abraham and his father had been called from the Ur of Chaldees, and they must have settled down at Haran. Genesis 11, verse 31 says, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. That dwelling there must not have been in the plan of God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will shew thee. What
a test of faith that was for Abraham. The Garden of Eden was, in all probability, located in that part of the world. One of the great rivers that flowed through Eden was the Euphrates River, which is still flowing today. Ur of Chaldees, Abraham's home time, was located on that lovely river. I think I can hear Abraham saying, "Lord, where are you going to send me?" Ur is the finest, the greatest civilization in the world. Abraham really didn't question God. He was just inquisitive. He just wanted some answers to his questions. He departed on his journey depending upon the simple promise of God, because God had said, "I will make of thee a great nation." Both the nations of Israel and the Arabs are all descendants of Abraham simply because he believed God, James 2 and verse 23, King James Version. Again, God said, "And I will bless thee." Read Genesis and see how God blessed him during his lifetime with tremendous material blessings. By Western standards, Abraham was a millionaire many times over. God further said, "And made thy name great." The name of Abraham has come down through the long corridors of human history as one of the outstanding men of all times. The word declared, "And thou shalt be a blessing." You'll find that every place Abraham went, others were blessed because of him. He had God's providential blessing upon him. God believed in Abraham and blessed him accordingly. We further read, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land." Let's put the emphasis on the phrase, "this land." There are those who could tell us that all those promises are being fulfilled through the church. Go through the prophecies of the Old Testament. See the number of times the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant are tried to a certain parcel of land, and it's difficult to understand how a person could fit the church into this land. God said, "I will give this land." In Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 12 through 15, we pick up the story. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. That's what Israel is today. "And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." This is an unconditional covenant which God made with Abraham. No strings attached, the simple promise of God that he would give it to him and his seed, and literally his descendants. In verse 17, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." We're told he dwelt at Hebron. That's 25 miles south of Jerusalem in the territory formerly occupied by the Arabs before the Six-Day War of 1967. We still don't have the answer to the question, whose land is it? Well, because both Arabs and Israelis descended from Abraham, they would have to look a little further for the answer. God had made this unbreakable promise, but there was one problem, and it was a big one. Look at chapter 15, beginning at verse 2. "And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is thine heir." Hebrews 15, verses 2 and 3. That God has said, "I will give it to you and to your seed." Abraham was getting up in his 80s, and he was a little apprehensive. He took his problem to the Lord, and please notice how the Lord reassures him. Same thing, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Genesis 15 and verse 8. Here we have some definitive boundaries which identify the land. Heretofore, it was as far as the eye could see from where Abraham was standing. But now we see a particular parcel of land which God is deeding to Abraham all the way from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The river of Egypt we naturally think of as the Nile. However, if you'll look in the back of your Bible, if it has the Sinai Peninsula map, look right in the center of the Sinai Peninsula going into the Mediterranean, because the River of Egypt flows north. There is a little river called Wadi El Arish. Most Bible students agree that the little river is what was called in ancient times the River of Egypt. It's rather interesting because it follows another boundary, which comes right down to the coast of the Mediterranean, and if you were to continue southward down through the Sinai Peninsula, it ends at the Red Sea where the Sinai Peninsula comes together at a point. That, roughly, is the western boundary. It will still
prefer the Mile River. It's just a few miles from Wadi El Arish. You take your choice. Abraham was called to leave his home, a wonderful city with two-story houses, modern plumbing, running water, all the comforts of civilization, to go into a strange land that I will shew thee. This is one of the greatest trials of his life, yet after he successfully passed the test, going out not knowing whither he went, what did the Lord do? God turned around after he had passed the test and gave him back the title deed to where he was living, plus a parcel of land from the Euphrates on which Ur was located. Parcel of land 600 miles all the way over to the Mediterranean coast. What an illustration of the fact that you cannot outgive God. I dare you try to outgive God. Impossible, you can't. Back to this complicated problem of Abraham's. He was getting older all the time. He didn't have any children, and his aging wife became guilty of doing something that probably most of all have done at some time or another. We pray about something intensively for a while, and if the Lord doesn't answer us, since we think he should, we take matters into our own hands. Then we end up getting ourselves into a terrible mess. Isn't that right? That's exactly what happened to Sarah. Look at the word record in Genesis. Now, Abram's wife bare him no children. And she had a husband, an Egyptian, or handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid, maybe that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Genesis 16, 1 through 2. The clandestine affair was an order of the Lord, yet all concerned were taking advantage of an opportunity which the law of the land in that day permitted them to do. Abraham was within the law of the land, although it wasn't according to the directed plan of God. A son was born of the Egyptian bondwoman and handmaid in Abraham. His name was Ishmael, a wild man. It's important that you remember that name because Ishmael was to become the renowned ancestor of the Arabs. All Arabs have descended from Ishmael. Incidentally, so far as their background is concerned, the Arabs are descended from Abraham the Hebrew and Hagar the Egyptian. All Arabs, therefore, are part Egyptian. Actually, Egypt is numbered as one of the Arab countries because the people speak the Arabic language. They are also of the Islam religion or the religion of Mohammedism, but strictly speaking, they're not an Arab country. They're Hamitic rather than Semitic, except for the blood of Abraham, which flows in their veins. They descended from Abraham through Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. It's a very interesting description of the nature of this young man, Ishmael, and his descendants. In Genesis 16, verse 12, it says, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. The Arabs didn't get along with each other. Have you noticed that? How many times in the past several years have they announced a high-level meeting of all Arab nations? They are insanely jealous of each other, and that's the root of their big problem. They're united in one thing. They hate Israel. Please note the last phrase, they hate Israel. As they hate Israel, they are unable to unite among themselves. The Jews have been scattered all over the world in the last 1900 years. What about the Arab? The Arab has not been scattered. He has remained in the presence of his brethren in a section of land largely located to the east of the land of Israel. Incidentally, there's never been an Arab nation permanently in the land that occupied by Israel today. The Arabs have always been located to the east, never in Palestine. In Genesis chapter 17, we're told about the changing of Abram's name to Abraham, the father of many nations. It's in this chapter that the birth of Isaac is established because he was to become the illustrious ancestor of the nation of Israel. The word says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, the land wherein thou art a stranger, sojourner, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Genesis 15, verses 7 through 8. God wants to let Abraham on another little detail of his master plan, which resolves around the problem that Abraham didn't have any seed. Oh, he had seed, but it was through a foreigner and not through his true wife, Sarah. The scripture says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old bear?
Genesis 14:15-17 in your King James Version Bible. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Genesis 17:18. In other words, Abraham was saying, Lord, I'm getting old and I don't have many years left. I'd like to see some of this promise fulfilled. Why not bless me through Ishmael? Here's what God did according to the incredible situation. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, will bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Genesis 17:19, KJV. If you're willing to accept the authority of the Bible, the Abrahamic covenant, which involved the deeding of a certain parcel of land, is to be fulfilled, but not through the descendants of Ishmael, but through the descendants of Isaac. Herein lies the secret of Arab-Jew conflict in the Middle East. The Arabs refused to honor the Bible deed to the land occupied by Israel. God has a plan for Ishmael. Is a plan for the Arab, because he says, I am for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto the set time in the next year. Genesis 17:20-21. The Abrahamic covenant was to be fulfilled through the descendants of Isaac. Most evangelicals believe that eventually that parcel of real estate, which includes the land where the Arabs have lived through the centuries, where the Arab nations are now located with the administration in the Messianic Kingdom, through Israel in the day when both nations will come to a place of conversion in need of a Savior. It will change the whole picture, but the administration will undoubtedly be in the hands of the true descendants of Isaac rather than Ishmael. Israel is to be the number one nation during the millennial age. In Genesis 21:9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. An awful hatred had developed on the part of this young lad, because he was a young man at the time. In verse 10, we note Sarah saying, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. We're told in verse 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, hearken unto your voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Genesis 21:11-13, KJV. Ishmael's mother Hagar came away, and she chose a wife for him, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Genesis 21:21. During the lifetime of Abraham, God confirmed the covenant again. He then reaffirmed it to Jacob. That's of interest because Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the older, and you remember this man lacked spiritual insight because he sold his birthright, which meant his legal interest to the covenant. Esau sold out for a mess of pottage. Jacob got the full blessing through obvious trickery. God said the covenant which we fulfilled through Isaac and then through Jacob, because Jacob came on the scene. However, there's one thing perhaps you ought to know, and that is in Genesis chapter 25. We told that Abraham had reached the place where he was about to go to be with the Lord, and we're told in Genesis 5:6, and Abraham gave all that he had unto his Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which included Ishmael, which Abraham had, Abraham also gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward into the east country. Genesis 25:5-6 in your King James Version Bible. If you want to know why Europe has been located in the east country down through the centuries, that's the reason. That's the land given to the descendants of Ishmael. They were ever given the land of Palestine. The Arab does not have any biblical claim on Palestine. In spite of God's goodness, Israel did not always obey God. God warned them of unfavorable judgments if they turned their backs upon him. They ran after pagan heathen gods which surrounded Israel. Israel disobeyed God and was not faithful to their part of the covenant. Because of that, God scattered them, first into captivity, later among the nations of the world. As a result of the disobedience, God was released from his part of the bargain. The Abrahamic covenant was an unconditional covenant. When God gave it, he attached no conditions to it whatsoever. The Palestinian or Mosaic covenant was a conditional covenant, but the conditions under these two latter covenants did not involve the deed to the land. Rather, it involved the blessing of God that would rest upon them in the land if they were obedient. involved the judgments that would come along if they walked contrary to God's will, which included the scattering of them among the nations. The land became desolate, cities became a waste and desolate, and disappearing them among the nations would be the end result. Let's examine Leviticus chapter 26, which, by the way, we need to be acquainted with if we are to understand God's dealing with Israel, past, present, and future. Note verse 33. I will scatter you among the heathen Gentiles and will draw a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Okay, as this lesson comes to a conclusion, God reminds them of the coming future day of repentance when they'll turn to the Lord and the eventual and complete fulfillment of his promise and the Abrahamic covenant, which was not to be set aside. Now, then, when that day happens, oh, I remember my covenant with Jacob. My covenant with whom? My covenant with Jacob, and not with Moses, not at Mount Sinai, the Palestinian covenant. I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I'll remember the land. Leviticus 26:42. Please note carefully, God talks about the restoration of the land and the rebuilding of the cities. Then we read in verse 44, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, forget them, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. The greatest miracle is not the restoration of Israel. What happened in 1948 was a miracle. A nation had been out of existence and came back into existence, and not only that, but into the very land from which they were driven. That was unparalleled in the history of nations. A miracle, yes, but that is not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is the unbelievable preservation of Israel, preservation of the Jews through centuries of time, scattered into every nation which the sun rises or sets. It's truly a divine miracle and must be acknowledged as such. The preservation and restoration of Israel is made up of liberty-loving people who return from more than 100 different nations around this world. Note what God promised. He said, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, forget them, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 26:44-45. In other words, I am a covenant-keeping God. When I make a covenant, when I make a promise, I intend to keep it. God is keeping his promise. That land belongs to the seed of Abraham through Isaac because of God's promise to Abraham. How that ought to encourage our hearts and strengthen our faith in God and his word. If you know the Lord, you become the recipient of another covenant, the real of that covenant which God has given. You are the spiritual seed of Abraham, and it's a covenant which God is willing to make with anyone who, like Abraham, is willing to be justified and counted righteous by simple childlike faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. If you'll never enter into the covenant, you should do so to have the privilege of entering into an everlasting covenant with God, who never breaks his covenants, who never breaks his promises. For God so loved the world, mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth on not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:16-36. Brother, sister, do what these two verses from God's word tell you, and then you begin to sing. I'm bound for the promised land, that eternal land where the soul never dies. And we go next to the lesson of Daniel's 70 weeks.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right. And Sister Ruth, who do we still got with us?
Well, we always have God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, and of course you, Sister Emily, Jim, and me.
All right. Well, Emily, just to see, do you have any questions or comments on the material that we presented? Let's see if she got her coffee.
Maybe she's praying, darling. I mean, she could be busy. I don't know.
I think so. I think what she did is she decided to go to sleep and forgot her coffee. So what we'll do, we're going to play our little segment here about staying warm but safe, and then we'll be out of here. But first, Ruth, we'll let you first give us a closing prayer, and then what we'll do is we'll play our segment and be out of here.
Lord, we thank you for all the prayer requests, and I believe you will take care of them. You got mail, sweetheart, and I know you'll take care of it because you're the best. Just thank you for everything tonight, and hope everybody had a good time. Emily is probably asleep. And take care of her and what she's been going through lately. I know you'll take care of her, too. And praise your name. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Amen. All right, and here we go.
To the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be around the heater and at least over the top of the heater, from the top of the heater to your ceiling, should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
And with that, we want to say God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow here on the Six Eyes Radio Network for the Jumbo Braille program, as Brother Quick gives us another good message from his storehouse of good messages. And we will be looking forward to that at, of course, 9 p.m. here only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.